Shakespeare, when did you, did you read Shakespeare as a child? Did you study him in school?
I didn't read Shakespeare as a child, but I saw my first Shakespeare movie in Ottawa at the age of 5 because my parents couldn't get a babysitter. Uh-huh. So Henry V had just come out. Uh-huh. It was during the war.
You were how old? You were
5. 5. Or 4. 4.5, 5, uh-huh. In around there. Uh-huh. So we were taken to this movie and just told, sit here, don't say anything. Uh-huh. So I remember those arrows pretty clearly. Uh-huh. Probably the language was going right over the head, but you could get the idea. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Blue outfits, bad. Mm-hmm. Red outfits, good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was like hockey. Mm-hmm. Except backwards, you know. Blue outfits, good, right? Yeah.
In your book, the character Felix Phillips is very much self-identifies with Prospero.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that? What is it about? For a long time, he's identified with him.
Yes, he was going to put on The Tempest, and he was in the middle of putting it on when Tony turns up and tells him that he's been fired. So out into the parking lot, your possessions out of your office in a box, and could we have your security pass back now, please? Pretty brutal, but that's what they do. Uh-huh. And in corporations as well. Uh-huh. So he was in the midst of this wonderful tempest that he was going to do, partly as a way of bringing back to life his child Miranda, who has died at the age of 3. Uh-huh. So well may you ask, why did I do that? Uh-huh. I did that because what would be the modern equivalent of a doting father living with a teenage girl someplace where she has never seen any other people her own age or indeed any other people? Mm-hmm. How could you do that? There are no more islands available. Mm-hmm. We know where they all are. And if they were marooned on one of them, it wouldn't take long for a satellite to see the big bonfire that you would, of course, make immediately. Mm. So it would be very hard to be stuck on a magic island for 12 years these days, or even just an island of any kind. The only other way that you might do it would be in outer space, in a galaxy far, far away and in another time. And I think somebody has done that.
I think they have, yes. Yeah.
But then you would have to account for the enemies turning up.
Yes.
You know, if they put you in a leaky spaceship.
Yes.
That doesn't work.
No, you don't get very far. Was it always obvious to you that you wanted to use this prison idea for The Tempest?
Okay, one of the things that really jumps off the page when you're reading it is the epilogue. Mm-hmm. The epilogue is very, very weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird even for Shakespeare. It is Prospero stepping out of the play, addressing the audience, saying, I've renounced my magic powers, I don't have them anymore, but you, the audience, have them, you've got powers. And I would like you to use your powers. And he talks about how he wants them to use the powers. And he wants them to use the powers partly in connection with pardoning him for a crime. You think, what crime has he committed? Mm-hmm. So I had to think about that. Mm-hmm. And then it says, by your indulgence, set me free. So indulgence is a pun. It means what we would mean by indulgence. But it was also something you could buy from the church on behalf of people who were in purgatory. You could get them out of hell with an indulgence. Hmm. So if Prospero is saying, set me free, and he's hinting that he's in the bad part of the afterlife. Uh-huh. What does he want to be set free from? Uh-huh. What is he imprisoned in? Uh-huh. Then I went back and counted all the other characters in the play who are imprisoned at some time or another, and it turns out to be all of them. Uh-huh. They're all in a prison of one kind or another, at one time or another in the play, or they're threatened with it.